Well, I hope you brought your Bibles because we're going to study God's Word. I'm going to preach out of God's Word. We're going to look at what is going on in the book of 2 Corinthians, in particular 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1 through 5. But over the last 2 weeks, we've been looking at giving. And again, I know that many of you are going, really? I thought this was going to be a one-week sermon. Then you said it was going to be 2 weeks, and now it's 3 weeks. If you've been going here, you know that's not just about giving. That's just about anything I preach on. It just continues on because when are we ever going to exhaust God's Word? Never. Never. We're never going to get to the end of it and go, well, I think that's it. We'll just close that book and what else do we have? No. We'll never get to the end of it. But I want to remind you very quickly, 2 weeks ago we looked at the fact that and we established some things that I don't think there's any argument over. Number one is that there was a tithe commanded in the Old Testament. It was 10%. Now, how many tithes, we don't know. But the very definition of a tithe is 10%. So that was established. And there were three groups of people that the Israelites were supposed to help. They were supposed to support and help the Levites and the priest. So that was one area they were to give. The other area they were to give were for the sojourners or travelers or strangers, widows and orphans. So that was the second group. So you got the Levites and the priests, the travelers, the orphans, the widows. And then the third one, which I think caught many of you off guard, is that we ought to give to ourselves. And I want to remind you, that's not, hey, I'm going to take part of my salary and get a new big screen TV or a brand new car. It's not about you becoming more in debt. But it was clearly, it was commanded that they were supposed to take 10%, take that to Jerusalem, and then buy whatever you want to eat, whatever your appetite is, and eat in fellowship with your family. And so, again, what I would suggest is, what he was saying is, you need to stop what you're doing, your day-to-day routines, stop, steal away with your family, and do this so that you may fear the Lord. It's what he says in his word. Do this so that you'll fear the Lord. Many times we never stop. We go day to day, work to work, day to day, work to work, day to day, work to work. And the Lord's saying, that's not good for you. Here's what's good for you. Do this. Well, then last week we started saying, okay, so what does it say in the New Testament? And we started talking about the fact that the Lord seeks you, not what is yours. He wants you, not your money, not your things. He wants your heart. We see that all the way through Scripture. He doesn't need your money. By the way, your money is not your money. It's His money. He owns it all. So He doesn't need you to go, well, this is my money, so what does He want from me? No. What do we get to give back to the Lord? That's the question. Not only does He seek you and not what is yours, giving is a heart issue, not a financial issue. Why is it? And how many of you, would you raise your hands if you've been on a mission trip? Would you raise your hands? Why is it that when we go on a mission trip, we go to places that certainly are not as well-to-do as we are? Amen? Every time. And yet, here's what I hear from people when they go on a mission trip. They were such a giving people. Why is that? Because it's not a financial issue. It's a heart issue. When people want to give, when their heart is filled with the idea, the joy of giving, they give. And they don't go, well, I don't have anything. Every place I've gone, they've had less than what I've had. And yet, many times, they're going, take this, please. We want to give this to you. It's not a financial issue. It is a heart issue. And then the last thing is that self-denial should exist in our giving. I would venture to say that the vast majority of us cannot speak of sacrificial giving, and many of us can't even speak of self-denial in giving. And so last week I left you with some questions that I thought you needed to begin to think about. We have been given much, so why are we not giving much? Are we giving to support our church, the least of these, and to ourselves so that we fear the Lord? Where's our heart? Did the message last week, did it bother you? And if so, why? Where are we denying self in our giving? So if you have your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 8, we're going to look at these first 5 verses. We're going to look into a little bit more about giving. And I told you I wanted to ask you questions last week. This week, I want to begin hopefully getting you to think a little bit larger, a little bit out of the box, Because let me tell you, I think we are a giving church, but I think we're a church that can give more. And you're going, oh yeah, that's great, Pastor. I'm not talking about to me. I'm not talking about to the church. I'm talking about overall, we can give more. And by the way, this sermon is not just for you. It is the Lord working on my heart. I need to make some changes in my life. As I begin to understand what the Lord has done for me and how I ought to give. So let's pray and we'll jump into this passage. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I just thank you for your word. Lord, I ask for forgiveness when I neglect it. Lord, we all seem to get busy in life. There seem to be 1,000 different things grabbing at our attention. And Lord, before we know it, your word is sitting on our nightstand, in our kitchen, on our desk, and we haven't even opened it. And yet, Lord, we are a privileged people that we have your word. So, Lord, I pray this morning as we look into this passage, as we begin to think through what we've seen in the past, what you have done and what you have done through your church, that, Lord, we will be inspired. Lord, we will be changed. Lord, we will be moved to do what you've called us to do, to be a giving people. Lord, I love you, and it's in Jesus' name that I ask these things. Amen. Would you please stand as we honor God's word? 2 Corinthians chapter 8, beginning in verse 1. You'll notice that my caption before that says, encouragement to give generously. We want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God that has been given among the churches of Macedonia. For in a severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. For they gave according to their means, as I can testify, and beyond their means of their own accord, begging us earnestly for the favor of taking part in the relief of the saints. And this not as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord and then by the will of God to us. Would you please be seated? Giving generously. Giving back to God and giving generously. I don't know if you caught some things in there, but first of all, Paul's surprised. He didn't expect this. He knows they're going through tough times. By the way, the church is under persecution. And yet they give. And not only that, I hope you caught where he's saying, they begged us. Then let us be a part of this. And I can imagine, you know how it is. If you've been on mission trip, and as I look around this room, many of you have been on mission trip with me, and I've been on mission trip with you. And we're there, and people want to give you things. They want to provide food for you, or they want to provide water for you, or they're just so grateful that you're there helping them, and they want to give you something. And what do we say most of the time? No, I can't take that. No, please. And what do they? No, please, take it. Take it. They're begging for you to allow them to join with you in the mission. I want to give you the context of what's going on here, and that is that when you look at the ancient world, and you have Macedonia up here and Jerusalem down here, and there are various reasons why the church in Jerusalem was suffering. It was the birthplace of the church was Jerusalem. And you'll remember there were thousands being saved, and many that were being saved were poor. But not only that, they were being persecuted. And all of a sudden, the church in Jerusalem is being overwhelmed with the needs of the people that are coming there. We know what that's like. What just happened here? Just a little over a month ago, Hurricane Harvey happened. And guess what? The churches that were here could not handle the needs. There's no way. We didn't have the resources. And so what did other churches start doing? Churches from all over our country began gathering things and shipping them here. They wanted to be a part of the ministry that was going on in Houston. Matter of fact, if you go back and read, it wasn't the Red Cross that did the most. It was the churches that did the most. They wanted to be a part of relieving some of the stress that was on the Jerusalem church. And he's writing to the church in Corinth, and he's saying, look, I want to encourage you to also give like the church did in Macedonia. I want to encourage you in that. And one of the things that he tells them is he says, look, God's grace compels us to give. God's grace does that. You know, we love to talk about God's grace. Oh, yeah, man, I've received God's grace. I love the grace of God. We sing about it. Amazing grace. But I wonder if we realize that part of what God's grace is that it compels us to give. You know, we can clearly define what is mercy and grace, and many of y'all know this, that mercy is not getting what you deserve. So Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death. So in other words, your wages, what you've earned is death. That's what you've earned. And mercy is, you don't get that. You don't have to go through that. Now, yes, we have a physical death, but we have eternal life with the Lord because of His mercy. Amen? Amen. But then, if you'll continue to read in Romans 6:23, then you see grace, because in 6:23, the next part, the second half of the passage says, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So clearly we earned death. That's the wages. That's what we earned. But when it comes to eternal life, it's a gift. Grace is getting something that you didn't deserve. Mercy is not getting something that you did deserve. Grace is getting something that you didn't deserve. And so we see the grace of God here. Not only did you not earn the grace of God, listen to me, you can't earn the grace of God. You can't. There's not enough good that you could do to get the grace of God. He just gives it to you. But the free gift, the gift. Let me ask you something. I mean, here we are. We're early November. And I know you've seen it just like me. You're already laughing because you know. I'm watching football. I'm thinking, okay, I'm just watching college football. And what am I already seeing? Christmas commercials. And you're going, are you kidding me? Not only Christmas commercials, and I remember as a kid, yeah, there were commercials about all the toys that we wanted. You know, they would show us as kids, these are the toys you want. Now it's the Mercedes that you want. I have to admit, I just don't remember car commercials for Christmas when I was younger. Now, that could be wrong, and you can correct me later. I just don't remember that. But Christians, you know, people ask me, what, you know, with all the religions in all the world, why do you think yours is the right one? Well, number one, I have faith. But there is something that is different about the Christian faith than any other faith, and that is grace. We are given salvation. We cannot earn it. You can't. And yet we're given that. And yet all other faiths are works-based. You got to do these things in order to achieve this. And God's going, you can't. I just give it to you. It's a free gift. And by the way, again, all this Christmas stuff coming up. I mean, do you really, children, do you really want your parents to evaluate what you've earned this year? No, we just give. Because we just want to do that. We want to give to our children. And if we, as sinful parents, want to do that for our children, what do you think God, the perfect Father, wants to do for His children? Give! But we as Christians, we've got to stop just talking about God's grace and start showing the grace of God in our giving. Let me tell you what John MacArthur wrote. One of the effects of saving, transforming, sanctifying grace is a longing to give generously and sacrificially to those in need, especially other believers. Let me read that to you again. One of the effects of saving, transforming, and sanctifying grace, by the way, that's what we've been given, is a longing to give generously and sacrificially to those in need, especially other believers. Does that describe us? Amen. We have been given the grace of God, and now we long to help others in giving to them. I've been talking to the youth about counterculture. And again, man, the Lord, I know He's working on my heart because I didn't plan this. And He's going, man, first of all, I'm going to put you in this on Sunday morning, and then I'm going to give you another dose of it on Wednesday night as you study to teach the youth. And one of the things we're talking about is what it is to be in this culture. And part of what it is, for instance, to be in this culture is we do look like the culture. For instance, it doesn't take long for you to talk to me and you're going to hear this come out of my mouth. Y'all. That's part of this culture. I've always said y'all. I've grown up in the South. And if you didn't grow up in the South, get used to it because that's the way we talk. We don't say you guys. It's y'all. But there's lots of things about this culture that we shouldn't look like them, especially when it comes to our money. Let me go ahead and say this because we're going to start getting into a little bit of the details here. First of all, one of the things that you ought to be doing with your money is taking care of yourself and your family. You ought to be doing that. You need to take care of yourself and your family. You need shelter. You need clothing. You need food. You need water. You ought to do those things. I was reading one pastor, and he was saying that, you know, when he talked about giving and sacrificial giving, he said, you know, you have young people who would come up and say, that's it, you know, I'm quitting my job, and I'm going to go serve. And he's like, now wait, don't become another burden, okay? It may be that you're supposed to keep your job so that you can provide for yourself, but you will have excess. And that's when we want to talk about giving. So you need to take care of you and your family. By the way, part of this culture, and I was reading another pastor, and he was talking about that he wanted to escape the culture so much that what he began leading his family to didn't even fit into the culture as far as living expenses. And, you know, it's like he was saying, we need to live in a hut. And she was like, are you kidding me? We can't put a hut in this neighborhood. The association will not allow that. So I want to put this out there that I don't intend, nor do I feel guilty about the fact that I have a home with running water, AC and heat. Man, the Lord has been good to me. And I'm not going to say, why did you give me all this? No, I'm going to say, thank you for giving me this. You need to take care of you and your family. Secondly, listen to me. We need to prepare for the future. There are some who would say, no, give it all away. You need to trust the Lord for your future. Well, part of trusting the Lord is the Lord has given you the means to prepare for your future. And let me just go ahead and say, I want to clear the air about this. And again, I realize I may be stepping on some toes because I'm not there yet. But this whole idea that we save and save and save so that we can retire one day and play golf 7 days a week, that is not biblical. It's not. That's an American, that's a sinful idea that somehow work is bad. That somehow our goal is to get out of work. Work is good. The Lord said that. You realize that work was invented before the fall. Now, frustration in work, that's the fall. But work was invented. By the way, and studies have shown that people who get up and go to work are healthier. They have a drive that other people who don't go to work. And by the way, this isn't just talking about when you're 20 years old. This is like when you're 60 years old and 70 years old and 80 years old. Those people who get up and go work, they are healthier. But this idea that what we want to do is save up all this money so that we can stop working. Young people, hear me. You need to get to work. And older folks, you need to keep working. And hear me on this. I've been reading testimony after testimony about people who are saying, the idea is not that you keep working maybe in the same career, but maybe you save up to where you can go do something else that no one else wants to do. You can do mission work. You can do volunteer work. Because you've now saved up money to where you have taken care of yourself and your family, but now you can do things that people are going, I don't want to do that, or it doesn't pay enough to do that. I don't know if you've seen the pictures or the story. This was just one that really, it just captured my heart the other day, was the ICU grandpa. And I see y'all nodding your heads because many of you saw that story. Well, I saw the story, but I wanted to know, what was he before he was the ICU grandpa? Did any of you look at that? And it's incredible because he was an executive in international marketing. And he was also lecturing at area universities in the Atlanta area. But all of a sudden, he happened to be at the hospital, and he saw these children who were in the hospital for extended stay. And since he was familiar with education, he thought, well, I'm going to start teaching them because they can't go to school. They're in the hospital. And now, every Tuesday and every Thursday, he goes and holds babies. And that's what he does. And I encourage you, when you go home, if you haven't seen it, bring up the video as he is just caressing a child as he sings to him and gives up himself. And here's a man who had money and he's taking care of himself and take care of his family, but now he's going, I'm at the age where I can do some other things. I don't think the pay is too good for the ICU grandpa. John Piper, and please don't throw anything at me and go, seriously? But he's often said that as you get older, you ought to go on the mission field and go to more dangerous places because you're going to die anyway. You can write John Piper. I'll give you his address. And I realize I'm not there yet. And it may be in 15 or 20 years that some of you will have to go, you remember that sermon you preached, Paul? Don't forget what you preached. And I'll say this, even in the church, and this is a tragedy in the church, we're seeing older folks say, you know what, I've done my time, and now I'm going to live my life the way I want to, and they are abandoning the church. And then they wonder why the church is immature. Church isn't what it used to be, right, because you're not there. Well, I've put up with enough church. And by the way, everyone in this room knows that church is not always pretty. But listen to me, those of you who are older, we need you. We need you because you've weathered some storms that some of us have not. And we're going to need your wisdom to help us as we go through those storms. God's grace, does it not free us? Does it not free us from thinking that we are our sole provider? Does it not free us from materialism? Does it not free us from the longings of this world? I know that many give. There were Christians and non-Christians, believers and unbelievers, that gave to help victims of Hurricane Harvey. I know that. But do we only give when things are well? Well, you know, I made some extra money, so I'll give a little bit off of that. Or do we give when things are not so well? We should give because God has given to us. And not just out of our abundance, but when we are lacking as well. So I ask, is sacrificial giving is a testimony of our faith? That's what it is. When we give sacrificially, we are testifying about our faith. Look what it says. For they gave according to their means, as I can testify, beyond their means, of their own accord, begging us for the favor of taking part in the relief of the saints. And this, we didn't even expect it. I wonder how many people in your lives would not even expect us to live differently. This is the apostle talking here, and it surprised him. But I wonder how many, it would be a statement of our faith that we're going, no, no, no. You see, this isn't our home. I'm here right now, and I need food and shelter and clothing. I need it, but this isn't my home. I'm not going to amass wealth here. Where are our treasures supposed to be? In heaven. That's where the wealth is. That's where the rest is. That's where retirement is. Not here. Paul makes it clear there. They're giving beyond their means. First, they were giving to the church. Then they were giving beyond that. All of us know what it is to give. I mean, all of us have given out of our abundance at times. You know what it is. You're driving down the street and you pull up right here on the Beltway and hear someone saying, need money for food. And we go, well, and you look around the car and in the cup holder where you were supposed to clean that out, there's some change or a couple of dollars and you give it to them. And you And you feel good. And you're going, well, I'm a giving person. Again, it was going to end up between the console and the seat anyway. We give out of our abundance that a tragedy occurs, or we go, you know what, we got to clean up the closet, so here's all these clothes that we don't wear anymore. They're out of style, and so we'll give those. See, I'm a giving person. But do we know anything about sacrificial giving, about denying self? You know, in America, I'm not getting onto you, we just don't understand poverty. We just don't. I remember Dr. Moeller commenting on this several years ago, and so I looked it up for this past year, because I think this, to me, really shows us how far we are with, we have so much. I don't know if you're aware of that 20 million Americans will spend $350 million this year. You probably won't even know what this is, on pet costumes. $350 million to dress up our dogs. Cats won't have anything to do with it. To dress up our dogs for Halloween. I've met some, they have a section in their closet for their dogs. Well, we want to make sure that they're warm. It's Houston. They have hair all over their bodies. We just don't have enough to give, Paul. $350 million. To me, that is indicative of we have way too much. We have no idea what this is like. None. None. I was sharing with our youth, and if you were here Wednesday night, you saw all these pictures already. We have no idea what it is to just look for something to eat. You know, if we're at a restaurant and we see a hair in the food, send it back. If we take something home from the grocery store and the plastic seal is broken, take it back. This little boy just looks for something. We have no idea. And I'm with you. I'm with you. And I also shared with them, we will never ever, Jesus is clear about this, we will always have the poor. So we will never solve it, okay? I'm not suggesting that. But when we have so much, how do we sit there and do nothing? Why? It's tough. I know that. We are bombarded with advertisements. Bombarded. I will never forget the first time I saw this on the internet, and y'all have all experienced it. And if you will admit with me, the first time it really caught you off guard. I needed a new leaf blower. So I Googled it. And y'all already know what's coming next. I just wanted a simple, hey, what? It's a leaf blower. That's it. Next thing you know, it didn't matter what website I went to. There were leaf blower advertisements everywhere. And of course, in my mind, I'm going, that's kind of freaking me out. How do they know that they know? And what do? They start giving you all the options. Is it going to be electric or is it going to be gas? If it's electric, is it going to be battery powered or plug it in? If it's gas, or is it going to be handheld or is it going to be backpack? We are living in a culture that not only do we go and spend all this money, man, there's always something better and something bigger, and the advertisers are going to say, oh my word, you're looking at leaf blowers? Let me show you what you can spend. And that's anything. We are bombarded by it. So it is a struggle for all of us. Let's just go ahead. We can rally around, put our arms around. It's a struggle for all of us to get out of that mindset. I am right there with you. I am not preaching to you. I might as well sit here, and if I could preach to myself, I would. I am right there with you. But when do we begin to say, there are some steps that we need to take to get out of this culture of me, 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 me. I want more. I want bigger. While there are those who can't even find food, and we do nothing. So I just thought I would put a couple of things in front of you. I'm not attacking these two things. I've got my, and I let me just go. One industry that is growing, other than self-storage, because we have so much, is Starbucks coffee. I mean, you know, I mean, I know I may look like Verlander. I can't throw like him. But in Atascocita, I can stand at one Starbucks, and I think I could probably hit the other one with a rock. That's how much. They're everywhere. They're everywhere. And it is not unusual. Any Starbucks, I don't drink coffee, so it's not. But again, that's not my deal. But I will tell you where I find myself is Smoothie King. And it doesn't matter whether I look at Starbucks, there's always a line. As a matter of fact, we are so lazy that if it doesn't have a drive-thru, I don't want to go to that one. Because I want to go to the one with the drive-thru. And there's always just a line of cars. But when we start talking about how can we begin denying self? Let's say you go to Starbucks 3 times a week. And for some of you, that's fasting. You're like, 3 days? I go 3 times a day. 3 times a week. If you spend $5 for every coffee, and some of you are going, you have no idea what I drink. $5, I wish. It's like $6.50, $7. And some of you are going, no, I get the regular stuff, $3. But let's just say $5. What can you do with that? Well, why not, for instance, say, you know what, maybe I need to give that up. Deny myself that and help. Well, if you're spending $15 a week, in the typical 4 weeks in a month, you can do the math very quickly, you're $60 in. And yet, you could help this girl have food. You could invest in her personally. She could have food. She could have a teacher. She could have someone who focuses on her, and she will hear the gospel of Jesus Christ for $38 a month through Compassion International. By the way, if you were to do that $38 a month, you could still have one coffee a week. You've just given up 2 coffees. That's it. And yet she's going to eat. She's going to have clothing. She's going to have someone who invests in her. And by the way, you don't even have to go, well, I don't really know where my money's going. It's going to her. I've already shared this with you before, and please, I'm telling you, I struggle just like you. I'm not putting myself on a pedestal. And if you think that, then I'll just go, no, I know, I'm messed up too. But I remember when my divorce happened. I was a 2-income family. And all of a sudden, I don't have that. And I'm going, I've got to make cuts. And if you think that the idea didn't pop in my mind, well, you have 3 children in Compassion International. You could cut that. That gives you over $100 a month. You could have back for yourself. Believe me, that went through my head. And I'm ashamed that it did. But the Lord began to work on my heart. And I was going, no, I'm going to give up other things so that I can help these 3 kids. And to be honest with you, I should be helping more than 3. So what do I have to do to begin doing that? And I realize there, I'm just giving you one example. Douglas and I were talking about, well, where are places that you can give your money and you know that it will truly help those? Man, that's a lot of research. And maybe we need to do some of that so that we can better inform you. But this is one group that I know that that's what they do. Because I want you to know, as a believer, I am all about not just making children or widows or orphans. I'm not about just making them comfortable for hell. I'm about them hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Because we're never going to solve their poverty. But man, we can point them to where the real riches are in heaven with the Lord. So there's just one example. But I want to put something else before you. And by the way, that's only, I would say that's, for me, that's maybe some self-denial. And maybe for you, if you give up those 2 cups of coffee, maybe that's self-denial. I still wouldn't say that's sacrificial. But I've already made a reference to this. Let me just go ahead and talk about this just for a moment. Christmas is coming up. I did a little research, and in 2016, the average per household spent on Christmas was $926. That's the average. That is just gifts. That's not food. That's not decoration. Just gifts, $926. So I would say we could easily round that up. Food and all that, easily round that up to 1,000. Please nod in agreement. Easily, we could do that. So just for the average household, $1,000. I wonder, if that's the average, what if we were to take a tithe of that and give to Lottie Moon? Lottie Moon is the Baptist offering around Christmas, the Lottie Moon Christmas offering, where we collect money in order to support missionaries all over the world. Well, Paul, does it really do any good? 4,500 churches started last year where there were no churches. 4,500 churches. Really, Paul, does it do any good? 87,000 people saved through the gospel of Jesus Christ. 87,000 brothers and sisters that we will be joining with them as we praise the Lord in heaven. What if our families said, you know what, if that's the average, we can cut back $100 somewhere in our giving. And by the way, that's the average. I would say in our area, that's probably not true. It's probably more for many families. They spend $2,000. $3,000 on it. Why not take a tithe? Why not look at what you're spending on Christmas and say, you know what, we're going to take a tithe of that and we're giving it to Lottie Moon so that our missionaries can continue to do what they are doing as they go all over the world and share the gospel. I mean, are we really, are y'all not going to eat at Christmas because we do that? Are we really going to suffer anything minus $100? And you know what? You may go, that's not enough, Paul. We need to get more of that. Good, go. I'm just trying to throw this out there. I wonder what it would be to sit down with our children and maybe the example of God's grace in our faith and through our giving is to share with them that, you know what? I know you've seen me, Kaylee and Kelsey. I know y'all see me go to Smoothie King all the time, but I'm going to stop doing that now because I'm going to take that money and I'm going to sponsor another child. Kaylee, Kelsey, Kendall, I know, man, we always have a great Christmas and we'll still have a great Christmas. Don't get me wrong. There'll still be gifts. But let me tell you something. You're also going to see something else under the tree, which is an envelope that has the money that we're giving to Lottie Moon. And I want you to see, kids, that this isn't about us. This is about the fact that we get to give. How do we begin thinking that our job is not just for us, but it's for us and to give to other people? That's what our jobs are. That's why we have careers, so that we can provide for our families and then give away the rest. When do we begin to see that? And I know that some of you may be upset this morning. You may be going, Paul, you're telling me you don't do it all. I don't. But that doesn't mean I don't preach on it because it's in God's word that we ought to give. I know the Lord is working on my heart, and I pray that He's working on your heart. Because I do hope that if there's anything that people would say about Summer Creek Baptist Church, is they're a giving church. You know, I want to congratulate you and tell you well done. That I know when we started looking at the list of the things for the food drive that we were doing, it was full. I mean, I think Tuesday we were meeting with Susan, and Susan's like, you better get your name in because it filled up. Way to go. We should have done that. Amen? Amen. That was easy for us. Very easy. Let's be a giving church. Amen? Yeah. Talk to your spouse. Talk to your children. Man, if the Lord is convicting you, talk to them about it. Man, talk. Start doing some things differently. I'm telling you, your pastor's going to. Already starting to put some things in place that I can help more, that I can give more. The Lord is going to provide for us. Amen? Amen. I mean, we provide for our children. We're sinful people. He is going to provide for us. So I hope this morning, not only have you heard the gospel, that the grace of God is that even though the wages of sin are death, the free gift of life through Jesus Christ, His grace being given to you. But I also hope that you've heard that we need to be giving people. This is not optional. And if your heart is not to give, you need to question why. Why is it that I want to keep everything for myself? You should question that. Again, let me read to you John MacArthur. One of the effects of saving, transforming, sanctifying grace is a longing to give generously and sacrificially to those in need, especially other believers. If you have that transforming grace and you don't want to give, you need to ask yourself some questions. Why is my heart hard? Why isn't that grace having that effect on my life? Man, I would love for someone to say of our church, man, they gave more than I expected. They were begging to know how they could help. The example that's been put before us is that we are to be giving people. How would the Lord want you to respond this morning? It may be that you need to grab your spouse and say, you know what, let's just go pray. We're going to have a hard discussion later. Honey, we need to talk about the fact that we're doing nothing. Dear, we need to examine, why are we keeping everything for ourselves? Where are some things? I mean, where is one thing you as an individual will say, you know what, I'm willing to give this up because I want to give. In church, I am challenging you. $100 a family to give to Lottie Moon. And the gospel going all over the world. People ask me, why are you Baptist? And I tell them, one of the reasons I'm Baptist is because of the cooperative program that we support missionaries everywhere. Why not be a part of that? So little for what we've been given. Let's pray.